Once again, good morning and welcome to the KRFY morning show here on Tuesday. Julie Calamine here with Julie Prochinski. And we are feeling very happy and lucky this morning to have our friend. She really is our friend. She's been on enough. We've gotten to know you. Suzanne Tabert, you are of Cedar Mountain Medicinals?
Cedar Mountain Herb School.
So close.
That was close. You're the proprietor. You formed it. You're it. You're everything there is about Cedar Mountain. So why don't you go ahead and give us just a little bit of background on you, how you became interested in what you're doing.
I think it's always been in my blood. I always bring up my Aunt Mary because she was always such a an inspiration yes. to me because, you know, she passed away just shy of her 100th birthday. So she had been around for a while, right? And she was born in the early 1900s when there wasn't a lot of trust in doctors, right? And so, you know, she grew up learning about the plants and how they can nourish, how they can heal, how they can prevent illness. And she took me under her wing. And I always feel so blessed and fortunate that she did that. And so I was always grubbing around the trees and picking dandelion flowers and just doing all the nature things. And I had three brothers who really couldn't care less about with a little sister joining in their reindeer games, you know, and so I was always on my own. So I made up my own time. So it was story time in the apple tree, and I was, you know, chewing on the flowers and picking wild violets. And
yeah, and that Aunt Mary supported that. And in my life, I had a grandma, and her name was Esther, and she was like that. She made dandelion potions and dandelion wine, actually, choke cherry wine. But she was one to just run out and want to, you know, gather whatever was around and eat it and get us to eat it, too. That's a great way to get started.
It is. It's so fascinating to see somebody so wise just go out in the wild or even in the garden and know what's going on and feel that deep connection with the plants, right? Because the plants will tell you what they're about. But you got to spend some time with them, just like a friendship, right? You want to cultivate a friendship, you hang out with them.
And learn about them. Well, so we start with your childhood with Aunt Mary, and we end up here in Sandpoint with a school. And let's just take a quick snapshot of how you got from there to here. What happened that made you want to do this work that you do now?
Well, my very first class was a plant walk in a park in Seattle. And I had mapped it out. I knew every plant I was going to talk about. I had 3x5 cards with the information. And it was very simple. And I had so many people sign up for me that I said, I'm onto something because there are other people who want to know this. And this was back, you know, 40 years ago. So I can't do the math right now. It's too early. But I just took off from there, you know, and I lived in the city and I found there are so many medicinal plants coming up out of the cracks of the sidewalk. And then I moved with my then husband up north near Mount Baker and we had an 80-acre farm. And that's when I started my apprenticeship program because people started asking me, will you teach me what you know? And so I thought, you know, I'm just going to give it to God and do it. And, you know, 40 years later, it's been a blast. And I've learned so much. I've learned so much about people and how they relate to plants and how I can open up that world to them. And that is just a very exciting thing for me.
Yeah, and so you learned a bunch about herbs, and I think you've learned a lot about native plants and wild plants, too. Mm-hmm. That's been part of your education, and you focused on that. But I think you do a little gardening, though, too, right? It's not just herbs. You've got some other things that you get harvest every year.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So I have a 4,000-square-foot herb garden that is ever expanding. I don't want to put an ED at the end because I know I'm always going to have more plants. And my husband says, do you need another plant? And I say to him, do you need another tool? And there we go.
There we go. But you've really focused on the medicinals, I'd say. That's been a major focus for you.
It is. And, you know, Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine, right? And so I incorporate getting the medicine of the people in ways they'll enjoy taking so that healing can occur, right? So how are these people going, how will people take in the plants so that they can be healed and nourished by it? So I incorporate medicinal plants into food and, you know, hydrosol distillations and flower remedies. It's not just tinctures and tea. There's so many ways.
And they can go just right into your day-to-day food, too, just straight up herbs, too. It doesn't have to be necessarily extracted or changed, correct?
Correct. Yes. Well, like yesterday, Memorial Day, you know, had family over for a barbecue. I made potato salad. I took lovage from my garden, which is a diuretic. And it's so mineral rich, and it tastes like celery. So I chopped some of the leaves up and put it in there. I had a three bean salad that I had, chives in it. And I put, which is antibacterial. I put oregano, fresh oregano right out of the garden, which is antimicrobial. So it's, you know, killing everything you don't want. So it just, you know, I like to layer medicine throughout the day. And what does that look like for people? Could be tea in the morning and an herb salt on their eggs. It could be an herb-infused honey on their oatmeal or yogurt, you know, and then we just build on that, you know, a salad dressing with fresh herbs for lunch and we go
yeah,
on.
And these are all things that are going to taste good and be helpful for us. It's not like you've got to eat a big old bowl of, I don't know, of like
the bitterest herb on the planet, yeah. Motherwort. Because that's not getting the medicine of the people in ways they're going to enjoy taking.
No. Well, let's just take an example of a person who maybe would like to try and experiment more with an herbal life. And I don't know, maybe they have a little health issue of some sort. Let's say it's tummy issue, because that's a pretty common one.
Yes.
And how do you start with a person like that? Like, what are the questions, or how do you get them going with their own plants and, you know, applications of those plants?
Well, that's a really great question. And I do that with my apprentices and my events and my talks as well. And I talk about anatomy and physiology in a way that anybody can understand, right? This is what's in your body, and this is what it needs. And if it's not getting what it needs, then this could happen, right? And so I would say to them, if they have tummy issues, they can grow fennel, because fennel is such a soother of the digestive tract, all over the whole digestive tract.
Is that the whole fennel plant or just the seed or?
The whole plant. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Some people grow that annual fennel, you know, and they chop up the root. It's what I love. Hey, I love black licorice as much as any other girl, but that's a little bit too much for me. But I can put the leaves in a salad. I can chew on the flowers, you know, and the seeds later. And then I tell them about chamomile. I think chamomile is an undervalued and forgotten plant. It is so powerfully anti-inflammatory. And oftentimes, you know, the gut issues can be due to inflammation and leaky gut and things like that. And chamomile is such a good soother for that.
And chamomile, would you put that as a tea, or how would you tell them to incorporate that into their diet?
You know, if you make it really strong, it's going to be very bitter.
Right.
But if it's not a strong tea, like if you only steep it for a few minutes, you are going to get the effects, you know, not as strongly, but you will get some of the effects, and it tastes so good. And I love making chamomile honey.
Mm.
So you don't have to chop up the chamomile because it's so delicate. So I just pick the flowers, put it in a jar, fill up a jar and pour honey over it and let it sit for 3 weeks and warm up the honey a little bit in a pan of hot water and strain it out. And let me tell you, oh my gosh, you can layer that all day long.
Yes.
In your regular tea, in your coffee, on your toast. You know, I call toast the international vehicle for all things and especially herbal medicine. You know.
I think the point of the tea, not steeping it too long for herbal teas, I think that's something that maybe is lost as we are not a tea drinking people like some people are, and not to oversteep these herbs because they are strong.
Yeah.
And they can get bitter.
Yeah. And bitter is good for us.
Sure.
You know, bitters can help heal the gut. It could stop the inflammation. It can get the digestion moving from, you know, the taste buds all the way to the waste products coming out. You know what I'm saying there? Mm-hmm. And it just and it helps to heal the gut lining. But that, you know, that is a stronger application. But if you're feeling a little woozy, a little nauseous, you can make, you know, a light, what's called a tisane. So that's something that's not steeped for very long. Add a little ginger to that, and boy, you're off and running just in a few minutes.
Another wonderful food for the stomach, ginger.
It is.
So the nice thing about chamomile is that it seems to want to grow everywhere.
That's
it's
right.
kind of
yeah.
easy, I think.
It grows really well in North Idaho. There is a cousin called Mayweed, and that is kind of stinky. And it will be medicinal, but it's not chamomile itself. So, you know, you can buy chamomile plants, plant at one time, harvest all. It really through midsummer. And then the last time it flowers, just let it go to seed and that drops down. And then you have 50 million little chamomiles.
That's for sure.
Coming up in the spring.
And it's pretty, you know.
It is
very
pretty.
Yeah.
Very dear.
So. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, it's a heritage plant. So a heritage plant is one that's been around and well-loved for so long. And I just keep thinking about, you know, in England, it's such a, you know, a tea that everybody knows about. And in the Middle East, it's a tea that everybody knows about, right? And so we need to bring back that ritual of tea making and enjoying, slowing it down.
Not just for when you have, when you're not feeling well. Tea should be every day.
Every day.
I think so. And
I agree.
It's a great way to hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm hearing a pattern. If a person were to come to you, you would listen for symptoms and then have some suggestions for plants. And if that person wanted to be able to do their own plants, what are some of the easy ones to get folks started on that are sort of universal great herbs for almost anybody?
Yes. So thyme, oregano, the culinary plants grow really well here because we have that hot, dry summer, right? And they don't need a whole lot of, you know, the fertility of the soil isn't such an issue. Sage, thyme, oregano, they grow like gangbusters.
They do.
In fact, in my garden, the oregano, I'm already having to dig some out because it is just going wild. And, you know, that's such a great way to utilize, you know, space in your garden. And you can take all three of those, chop them up, put them in a jar, pour apple cider vinegar over it. And then you have this wonderful vinegar. You know, when you know things and then you forget about it and then all of a sudden you go, oh man, I should have been doing that for the last 10 years, right? Well,
yes.
I have arthritis in my fingers. I have my grandma's kind of curvy, crooked, witch looking fingers.
They don't look that bad, listeners.
Bless
they look
you,
pretty
my
good.
Bless you, my child.
She looks great too. She's a very healthy lady.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've got arthritis in my neck. I've got arthritis in my lower back. And I remembered, you know, in the Appalachian, way in the back, the old timey people there would take warm water and put about a splash of apple cider vinegar in there and then about a teaspoon of honey. Drink that every morning and watch your arthritis symptoms just go away. And so I've been doing that now for about 3 weeks. And I can tell you, my neck has been in fine form. And I was just thinking this morning, yeah, this stuff really works. And if we're going to use a vinegar, why not an herbal infused vinegar?
Why not?
So we're going to just get the benefits of that herb on top of
it. So our kind of classic French provincial herbs are good. Chives, you've mentioned already, they're a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
Chamomile would be easy.
Lavender grows here.
Yeah.
And that is a much loved plant. It's one of my all-time favorite. In fact, I have 11 raised beds, and I have one raised bed dedicated just to lavender. And then along the one fence line, it's lavender rose, lavender rose, lavender rose all the way down. And then a cramp bark at the end thrown in for good measure.
And I mean, also those other sort of Mediterranean herbs, rosemary is a wonderful one for summertime, basil. Those
yes.
ones, I'm assuming they have some medicinal properties.
Absolutely. So basil, super nutritious. And, you know, there's a basil called Tulsi basil that, oh boy, when you're feeling so overwhelmed that you don't know how you're going to make it to your next breath, that one really helps. And the culinary basil is so mineral and vitamin rich. And we just planted this weekend. Yeah, because, you know, it's the snow off of
Mount Baldy.
It's
a delicate one.
It is. And that, so that's an annual, you know, but it grows. Mm. I mean, you get a tiny little 4-inch pot and by the end of the season, you've been picking and that thing is almost a bush. It's so huge. And then the, what else, what was the other one you mentioned?
Oh, rosemary.
Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not going to overwinter. But
no.
I bought one last year and put it in a huge pot and it said, why, thank you. And it accommodated that big, it got so big. And I brought it into the greenhouse and for the first year it overwintered and now it's back out in its spot and it's just waving its branches around and stretching and growing. It's a happy one. And that one is anti-fungal.
Rosemary.
Right? Yeah. So you can make an oil or you can make another vinegar out of the rosemary. And it's not just to put in your salad, right? Or in your water in the morning, but put it in a pan of warm water, you know, like a cup to a couple of gallons of water and you soak your athlete's feet in there. And
I was about to go there with that and ask.
Let's
and that
go.
Can work.
Yes, it can.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man. Not to say I have athlete's foot, listeners.
No.
But a foot soak is
but if
so
I've
wonderful.
I've heard.
Yes,
I've heard that
this.
People get athlete's feet. Yeah, so, you know, the thyme, the oregano, the sage, the garden sage, Salvia officinalis, and the rosemary, you know, those are the Mediterranean plants that will kill fungus dead. And, you know, fungus likes moisture. And so if we don't give them the moisture and then we give them fungal killing plant remedies on top of it, man, they just don't have any chance. And one of my best, I sold products for 27 years at farmers markets and all over. And I say that like I'm so tired because that was a lot of work.
Yes.
Oh, but I made a salve. And so you think a salve is like oil and beeswax to make it more solid, right? Or gel-like. And you wouldn't think that that would be antifungal. But the plants that I put in there, like pine, like thyme, oregano, rosemary, all of that, a little bit of cedar, were so powerfully antifungal that you put the salve on there and fungus did not have a chance. And it was one of my all-time favorite sellers after I changed the name to antibacterial salve because nobody
wanted the antifungal.
So they'd be like, so, but try to walk around it.
That's and, funny. That's
yeah,
very
and
funny.
So they would look at that and I'd say, yeah, it's antibacterial, but it's antifungal. Fungal too, wink wink, and they'd be like, I'll have 10.
Try it out. That's right.
I have to mention one other culinary herb that we didn't mention is tarragon.
Tarragon.
Tarragon is really a wonderful edible herb. Probably my favorite eaten herb.
You know, you can't That's be good. Friends with every person on the planet, right? And tarragon is just one that has never called to me, but I've been thinking, that's funny that you say that, because I've been thinking about that lately, that I want to get to know that plant. I you know what? I kind of got turned off 147 years ago when I lived in Washington up near Mount Baker because I tried to grow it there and it wouldn't grow. So I just kind of went sour grapes on it, you know. But I bet it grows really, really well
yes,
here. So mm-hmm. I think you just gave me the inspo to find a start.
Yeah, and great with like poultry. Mm. You can just go ahead and use it. I love it with chicken. It's good.
Put it in your salads.
Yeah.
It's if you like licorice.
Yeah.
That's slight. The taste.
Yeah, and see, bit. Getting the medicine to the people.
Yes.
That's right. Well, what's happening in your garden right now? Like, what are you going to go home and do today or tomorrow?
Oh, gosh. Everything is going like gangbusters. My apprenticeship program started last Thursday. And so for the first 2 hours we were in my garden, I just wanted to introduce them to all the plants. And they were all raving at how advanced everything is going into flower. And, you know, I think because of our mild winter that, you know, things started out a lot earlier. And so what am I going to do today? I'm going to go in there and I'm going to look and to see if anyone's calling out to me. You know, I've got every raised bed. Like I said, I have 11 raised bed. Every raised bed is a theme. So what I've got an antiviral with yarrow is in there. Echinacea purpurea, Echinacea angustifolia. Minarda didyma is in there, bee balm, which is an antiviral. I've got a lung, you know, respiratory with horehound and western coltsfoot. I got one of my apprentices snuck some over to me and it's taken over a little bit, but I have elecampane. I've got multiple nervine beds, you know, the lavender, the motherwort, the artemisias, the valerian, my culinary ones. I've got catnip, catmint. I've got Johnny Jump Ups galore. I mean, everything is just saying, I am so beautiful right now.
I mean, we have just scratched the surface on
the
qualities of herbs, because you've just named off like 10 more that we could spend the entire hour talking about.
Yeah.
My little dog is kind of attracted to the Minarda family and a little bit to the mint. It's very odd. He's not
bring
a cat.
Bring him over.
Yeah. And I think about that because, it makes me wonder what is in there that little guy likes.
Well, that's a good question. You know, there's, I have in my garden, I have catnip, I have catmint, I have motherwort, I have three different types of spearmint in there. I have peppermint. The list just really goes on. I want you to bring him over.
I will.
And he'll be like the bomb-seeking dog, right?
Yes.
It's like, which one is he going to go to?
Yeah, not bomb, not B-O-M-B, folks. B-A-L-M.
Balm seeker. Is that something you don't say on the radio?
No, but there are bomb-seeking dogs. But he's not that. No, he's not that.
Bomb-seeking dog. Yeah,
but,
I'm serious. Bring him on over. And, you know, I wanted to just quickly mention, in July, offhand, I don't know the date, the library is going to offer a class that people can come to my property, and I'm going to give them a tour of the I live on 4 acres in town, so I'm going to show them the pines and everything that grows in the wild. Then we're going to go in the garden. They're going to get to make a couple of things. And there's definitely a limit of 20 people. So if that's something,
yes,
you know.
So listeners, if that interests you, go ahead and get signed up at the library.
Yes.
And repeat the date again, please. Did we say?
Not sure.
We did not say
no.
That. July 9th, I believe that
okay.
is. It's a Thursday from 6 to, six to 8.
Cool. Put it on your calendar, Julie.
Yes, I'm signing up right now.
Last thing I'll say about that dog today is he'll also eat green bean leaves.
Go figure.
He loves them.
Huh. Interesting.
You know, I love watching that because animals know what they need
right
now.
I was just thinking
and
that.
They know what they like.
Yeah, he loves those.
They'll teach you a lot.
It's pretty weird. Well, I think it would be a good time to talk about some of your upcoming events or classes because they're pretty darn interesting. Let's hear what you've got going on.
Okay, so I have a 3-day herbal adventure in Seattle. So that's Friday the 12th. Through Sunday the 14th
of July
of June.
Coming up.
So it's coming up, and so we're going to be going to three different distinct locations on the beach, riparian area, which is river, and then we're going to go to Central Washington.
Wow.
And then on the 20th is the North Idaho Herb Festival.
Wow.
So I ask Uncle Google to give you the information, you know, the website for that. And then
and you told us that was in Spirit Lake.
That's in Spirit Lake.
So that's not very far.
So
not
there's oodles of speakers and demonstrations and vendors. And then on the 27th of June, just north of Missoula, is the Montana Herb Gathering.
Wow.
And so I will be at all of those. talking about my favorite plants. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't have a lack of things to say. So I'm going to be telling stories that I've collected from when I was a little girl to today, and the stories from my apprentices and of all the plants, our experiences collectively about plants that grow right here, you know, that you can grow or you can find in the wild, because then that makes that plant really go from a green blur to it's alive.
A friend.
Yeah, a big relationship with it. And then in September, I'm going to have a 3-day herbal extravaganza here in, here.
Yes, in Sandpoint.
In Sandpoint.
I saw that one.
Yeah. So when is that? September 18th, 19th, and 20th. So I did that one last year, and that was, it was popular right away, and it was so much fun. And people can, if they're coming from away or they just want to, they can camp out on our property. And oh my gosh, we just have so much fun. They learn so much, and they take home everything from Oregon grape tincture to herbal beads and medallions that they've made from plants that they're harvesting.
Really a great introduction to understanding how to work with herbs,
yes,
as medicinals. Did we catch the one that you and I are thinking of attending,
Julie? That's July 11th.
Oh, right. That yes. one, too. Thank you for that. July. Yes. Oh, I'm a busy girl.
Yes,
July,
you are.
There's a July 11th. It's a Saturday from 9 to 2. So I'm going to give it my all. I love plant walks are my all-time favorite things to do, because you're introducing the plants that people see every day but may overlook. And I'm going to look, here's this plant, and look at the leaf is waving at you. It wants to get to know you. And that's going to be at Waikiki, what is that?
Nature Preserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you go on cedarmountainherbs.com, you can sign up for
all that
any
stuff,
of these things.
All the things.
Except for the library, maybe. They
except
might
for
to
the
to
library.
Library,
yeah. Well, and then the Montana Herb Fest, you got to go to them.
Sure,
and
sure.
then the North Idaho Herbal Gathering.
Oh, it's called Idaho Herbal Gathering.
Yes, okay. You go to them.
Good.
All righty. Now, I was about...
Did everyone get that down? Maybe we should take a little song break, let people have a chance
to
absorb all of this information and
yes.
and hopefully not miss out on all the fun coming up at Cedar Mountain Herb School.
CedarMountainHerbs.com.
CedarMountainHerbs.com. So most of it will be there, and you may not be able to sign up there, but at least you'll get your information.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back, and we're going to have quite a few more topics, so we better get moving.
Woo-hoo!
Here. Yes.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Indigo Girls, Cedar Tree, it seems appropriate, folks. So this is 88.5 KRFY, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is Julie Calamine here with my buddy Julie Prochinski on a Tuesday morning.
Good morning, everyone, again.
Yes, and we're back with Suzanne Tabert, and we have been talking about herbs, and more. And we had a good chance to talk about what we could still fit in the remainder of our hour. And one thing I'd like you to spend just a little time on, Suzanne, is looking for those wild plants, the native plants that can be medicinally helpful. How do you go about that? I imagine you've had a long history of learning them.
Oh, I have. And, you know, since I taught in Western Washington for 147 years, and I would always also take people to Central Washington.
Don't look a day over 130.
Bless you, my child. It's all that good living. Oh, my gosh. So I would, you know, I'd take them to Central Washington, too. And when we moved to North Idaho, I said, look at that. All my friends are here. Some of the Western Washington plants, some of the Central Washington plants. So I knew, I would say 90% of the plants here already. But one day, an older gentleman ambled onto our property, and he said to me, can I pick your service berries? And I thought, well, I'm not sure what that really even means. And so I said, show me the service berry. And it was at the end of our property. And there's, oh, they look like little blueberries. And he said, boy, there's so many antioxidants and they taste so good. And you can make jelly and, you know, all the things.
Full of pectin and fiber.
Yes.
Those suckers, yeah, they are
crazy.
Good for that.
So, you know, people will make service berry jam. And, you know, all you got to do is put your service berries in a... What's that thing that whirls around, the Cuisinart thing of
food processor? A spinner.
I'm an old lady. I forget simple words like the word the sometimes, you know.
Listener, so she's circling a big circle around her head, and I wasn't sure if she meant like it was like a hair dryer.
Could be anything. So you put, like, say you have, say, 2 cups of service berries. So you put that in your food processor and add enough honey to taste. So for me, just a couple tablespoons. And you whirl that up, you put it in a jar, put it in the refrigerator, and the next day, it's jelly.
Wow.
It's amazing. And you don't have to worry about seeds because those seeds are so teeny tiny, you don't even have to, you don't even barely see them. Right?
Right.
And there's service berry galore here.
Yeah, there
it's
are.
Everywhere.
Yes.
And it was in flower. It's one of the first early spring trees to flower. And it has many petals that are kind of long and kind of frilly looking.
Yeah, I'd say they kind of grow in clumps. But you don't want to confuse them with a hawthorn at all. But I kind of feel like a very good way to get out and learn your natives is to know someone who knows their natives, who can help you distinguish.
100%. I agree with that because, you know, you can, there are so many lookalikes out there. And some may be helpful, some may be harmful. And, you know, I tell this story one time. There was a student that came to one of my one-day class, right? And then she was caught on a mountain that I teach on that I said, look me in the eye, you don't get to come back up here, right? And so one of my best friends, Erin Van Hee, she has a her school out in Western Washington. One of her apprentices was up there and said to her, what you doing? And she said, I'm harvesting St. John's wort. And he said, no, that's arnica. She said, no, it's St. John's wort. I'm going to make a tincture and people can take that for, you know, brightening their spirits. And he says, that's not a plant that you take internally. Right.
Right.
And so, you know, there's some danger out there if you know just a little bit enough to harm people. So, you know, so that plant walk in July is going to be great because I'll be talking about all the plants. And like you said, hawthorn looks like, can look like cherry, can look like apple, the wild apples, crab
so
apples,
true.
Can look like the service berry.
But it is. It's a process of learning and it does help to have others who have gone before to help you catch up and get that information. And that's part of why you're so successful. You can help people with that.
I can.
Yes.
And that's my favorite thing to do.
Yes. It's wonderful.
We got to remember, too, we've got the Arboretum in town that has a lot of natives in there that you can identify there.
Because they have little signs.
Exactly.
Yeah, and get a start.
Conveniently.
that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another thing that we wanted to talk about is your intern program. You touched on it, but we didn't really go into it very much. Let's take just a couple minutes and, first of all, find out if that's still available and who you might look for that program.
It is. So even though we started last Thursday, people can still slide in sideways and learn. I mean, because we're going to be meeting until mid-September. And we meet in person every other week. And then the weeks that we don't meet, so the other week, I give them videos and webinars and lessons and little tiny projects to do to keep them involved and keep the momentum going. And so, you know, we did a huge plant walk at Round Lake on last Thursday. And so the following time we're going to meet, we're going to be, I'm not going to tell you where because it's my place, but we're going to be harvesting desert sage. So in the meantime, I gave them a webinar on finding your own wildcrafting spaces. And I gave them a video that I was looking at it, and it must be about 15 years ago, teaching people how to make a sage bundle. Right. Mm. And talking about the sage. And then they got documents on medicine making, how to, what's the best way to do it. And so then the next week, when we have that sage harvest, they have a little bit of knowledge under their belt. And then I can continue teaching. And it just, compounds week after week after week. And boy, do I have a lot of fun things planned for this year.
Oh, I bet. And then as I'm just wondering, are they able to give back? Do they work in your garden? How does that work?
I have a garden manager, and she's a former apprentice who comes. She's just one of the most beautiful girls on the planet. Her name is Riley, and her parents own the City Beach Organic. Oh, so she comes. She loves my garden. She loves being in my garden, and she takes care of it for me much better than I ever could. So I get to go in and enjoy. And she will take plants, you know, there's too much of this plant, so let's put that in little pots, and my apprentices get to take home. When we're in the garden, and some of the times we'll be out in the wild, some of the times we'll be in my garden, because there's so much to share there, you know. And if they see a weed, they have to pick a weed, right? If they see something, if something needs watering, they can water it. And they're, you know, my apprentices are just the sweetest people on the planet, and they're so full of passion, and they're so willing to learn, and they're so willing to give back and help however that looks like.
It sounds like a great partnership.
It is. I look forward to the apprenticeship every single year. And I had a friend recently tell me, oh, you know, that foraging thing you do, I bet you'd rather write. And I would rather be out in the planet. I would rather be out in the middle of nowhere looking at my apprentices with this joy on their faces, going absolutely nuts over these plants they're learning about. And I never knew. And now I'm touching these plants. And oh my gosh, and this is helping my grandma. And I took this to my husband and it helped him. And that, I don't get me wrong, I love writing a lot and I do it a lot. But being out with the people and the plants, that fills my soul nothing other does.
Well, I can hear that in your voice, but it is a great opportunity to segue into publications because you've got quite a few, some smaller, some larger. Let's take some time and talk about that.
So, you know, I had mentioned that I sold products for 27 years, and right before the pandemic, it was November of 2019, I was going to do a botanical skincare class. And so I decided to do a handout because I used to not do handouts because I thought this is a lot of work and you can just take notes. Thank you very much. Well, I decided to do a handout. It turned out to be 18 pages long. And I went, wait a minute. So I did the class, I wrote the book, and we self-published it. And then Ogden Publications in Utah, they said, we want to republish this book for you. And by the way, what else do you have for us? And so that one, 166 recipes and recipes and essential oil blends, how to make soap, how to make a tincture, it just goes on. What is skincare all about?
Is that publication still out there? Can people get it?
Yes. So you go on the front page of my website, you scroll down about 2/3 of the way there, and you'll see my Quest for Calm book and my Wild and Beautiful book. And they can click on that. Takes them over to Mother Earth News, which is an Ogden publication. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they can order through there. And then the Quest for Calm is all about herbs and lifestyle changes to help take away that stress and anxiety that can cause so many physical manifestations.
Boy, that is me. I am on a quest for calm. I'm going to have to order that today, Suzanne.
You know, I just did a little video for Mountain Rose Herbs, and they said, what was your biggest influential plant? You know, in social media, I don't, you know, that influencer thing is so fake, but the plants influence me in ways that are real and tangible. And so in the video, I said, I think that when I was born, when I came out of my mama, I was having a panic attack because I am a pro at those.
Are you?
Oh my gosh. You know, you look at me too long and I can have one right here if you wanted me to, you know, but nobody wants to see that, right? So over the years, I have learned so many techniques of, you know, distancing myself from my brain for a while, breathing techniques, distraction, and all the herbs and all the yoga and meditation and all the things. And that, it's a small book, but it's a mighty book. right? It's so good. And then, you know, I kept saying, I have another book in me. Well, I have a lot of books in me. And I put it out there. I prayed, you know, I have another book that I want to get out. And not a week later, I get an email from Brittany from Lions Press, affiliate of Global Pico Publishing. And she said, well, we have a homesteading section of our publication, and we want to know if you can write a book on herbs. And I said, oh, heck yeah. And you're literally the answer to my prayer. And so I spent April through February writing that book. And right now it's 451 pages. And it's called The Forager's Apothecary.
Oh,
and
great name.
They wanted me to write about 20 plants, right? And so I gave them in my proposal one of my plant monographs. And she came back and said, you know, if you write 20 plants at this length, that section alone is going to be 750 pages long. I said, well, obviously I need some parameters. And so they said, I want 50 plants, 25 long monographs, 25 short monographs. And by the way, we want all the lookalikes too. So there's really about 150 plants that I talk about. And where to find your wildcrafting places, how to steward the stands and all, you know, everything around, the tools that you will need, a big medicine making chapter. And I mean, it is huge. And there's about 200 pictures, and most of them are ones that I took myself or my apprentices took.
A life's work. Wow.
Kind of.
Yes.
Kind of. But it's going to be out early spring 2027.
Okay.
Because we did all the final edits and now it's going to be in design. Right.
Oh, good. It's out of your hands.
It's out of my hands.
Oh, boy.
And I said, oh, that took a lot out of me. And I gained 10 pounds and still working on that. But I said, I don't have another book in me this year. And just last week, she said, what would you think about writing 460-page booklets on, you know, not about the foraging, but just the plants themselves? And I went, I think I have four more little booklets
That's
in me.
That's great.
So,
Suzanne, when these books become available, will there be a link on your website?
Absolutely.
All right.
The cool thing about Lions Press is Simon & Schuster does their marketing and sales. And so it's going to be in Barnes & Noble. It's going to be in feed stores. It's going to be in the big, big places.
It'll be able to help a lot of people. You're going to get
will.
So dang famous, we won't get you back in here without paying or something, and
little
we're volunteers.
Little old me.
So we'll have to have our people call your people.
I don't know if I want people. I still want to come in here because, you know, I love connecting with people, and I love connecting with people on a small basis. I can talk in front of hundreds of people, but it's that sweetness of being able to really, you know, get deeply and intimate with, you know, like you two ladies. It's just, that to me, it fills my soul.
It's as great for us as it is for
Absolutely.
You, Suzanne.
Thank you.
And Julie, she can't get too far away. She just, her school and her home is just around the corner.
That's right.
So. Yes.
Sandpoint's very own herb school.
Yeah.
A long history of herbs in Sandpoint.
Yeah, really true.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Well, boy, we're coming to an end of our hour. It goes so fast.
Goodness.
And so I guess I'll just ask you to repeat your contact information if you have any closing thoughts.
So my school is the Cedar Mountain Herb School, cedarmountainherbs.com. The cool thing about that website, it's not only giving events, but it has recordings of podcasts. This one will go on there as well. There's articles on everything from GLP-1 to grief to pain management, plant monographs, and it's a very full website. And I have a monthly Materia Medica monthly subscription that they learn about plants for an entire year. It's a self-study, and it is, I go deep. I always go deep, and so many stories and so many amusing stories. I like to make people laugh because if they're laughing, they're learning because they're not bored.
They remember
sleeping.
Too.
Yes. They remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, you know, my website is so beautiful.
It is.
Really
it is.
Thank
it's
you.
Great.
Yeah. Kim Herbst is the gal. She's my website mistress, and she was one of my apprentices. And
wow.
She's just amazing.
You've built a dynasty.
I do.
Yes.
Yeah, Beth Dutton is my spirit animal from Yellowstone.
Great.
I want to be just like her when I grow up.
There you go.
But a little kinder.
Well, Suzanne, I'm going to go out with a promise to you that I'm going to bring my little ancient little dog out, and we're going to test his balm. See if he's a balm sniffer. And we'll go from there. But really, on behalf of KRFY and Julie and me, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Great talk.
It's always such a pleasure. Thank you.
It's so great seeing you again. And everyone, this is 88.5 KRFY. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up.
And a little song to take her out.
That's right.